God is so good. All the time. Amen. An awesome, been an awesome day. Had an awesome Sunday morning. It was awesome to see that little baby dedicated to the Lord. It was awesome to see all those people getting prayed for their marriages. Not that anything was wrong. You know, not at all. It was just that it was just an opportunity to get your marriage prayed for. And you know what? I love any opportunity I get to get my marriage prayed for. My wife and I pray every day. We've prayed every day since we started dating. We have prayed every day since we started dating. After we got married, we actually could hold hands and pray. And every morning, and my wife, she may have told you this, I don't know, but what we do, we were trying to figure out or make sure that we got everybody included in all the prayers. And finally, the Lord spoke to my wife and said, why don't you just pray the Lord's Prayer? Because sometimes we'd pray all the way till she got to Greenville, 30 minutes, and still wouldn't get everybody. And so she said, the Lord convicted me and said, we could get a whole lot more done if we would just say the Lord's Prayer. And so every day we hold hands and say the Lord's Prayer. And of course, Maddie's Baptist. You know who Maddie is? Yeah, so Maddie comes up and gets with us. Inky, she's Pentecostal. She doesn't like it unless we're shouting, so she stays over there. So, but still, we say the Lord's Prayer, and then we say a special prayer for Bethany and all the other youngers. But still, the Lord's Prayer every day is an awesome prayer. Because it actually, I never really thought about it until the Lord spoke to her about it, and about how it actually, it prepares you for the day better than anything I can think of as far as praying, is pray the Lord's Prayer. And I think about that every time we say it. So if you don't think of it, can't think of anything else to start the day with or to pray, start out with the Lord's Prayer, because you're covering every base when you cover the Lord's Prayer. I want you to get your Bibles out. You don't have to stand, but just get your Bibles out. Romans 8. Again, we're still talking about some attitude issues. We're going to be talking about attitude now for quite some time. After this next week of marriage, then we're going to talk about attitudes that actually affect our marriage and affect our jobs, that affects us in every area of our life. Because your attitude, one thing about your attitude is you may not see it, but everybody around you will see it. You may not even understand how bad it may be, but everybody around you will be able to tell if you've got a bad attitude. Have you ever had somebody tell you, buddy, your attitude's stinking today? And you said, what? Yeah. So again, a lot of times people will see your attitude before you see your attitude. Amen? All right, so here we go. Romans 8:31. We're going to bounce all back and forth tonight through some scripture, but we're going to start bouncing back and forth over the next few weeks. Next week, of course, we got three words in today. You can tell everybody we were there for, they had a 30-minute service, and the preacher only got three words in. Only got three words in. Amen. Next year we're going to get another four words, and that's going to be awesome. And if you got somebody you think might could benefit from them, if nothing else, get them to look at the YouTube video to see that we're not in here trying to beat people up. When you start talking about marriage, people think you're trying to beat them up or you're going to start a fight, and so they get scared of it. Amen. And so I have to think about that too. When I start talking about marriage, I got my wife reminding me if I did what I said or not. Amen. So you go, you know, I heard you talking about it, but when do you do it? Oh, okay, excuse me. Amen. So again, we want to everybody have a healthy life, a healthy marriage, a healthy attitude, a healthy workplace environment. And so I want to talk about something tonight. You see, and we've been talking about this for quite some time. It is either we can work on our attitude or our attitude can work on us. Right? Either we can work on it or it works on us. I much rather work on it than it work on me. Amen. When we surrender to our circumstances, think about this. Everybody's got bad circumstances. Nobody in here can say, I have absolutely no problems. Nobody can say that. Matter of fact, if you want to know the truth about it, if we wanted to pick them all out, you could probably pick out at least one handful of problems. Okay? And if you got children, you can pick out a handful for each child, not because of them necessarily, but because things they're going through. Because when your child goes through it, you go through it too. Okay? And then when your grandchildren, you know, a little Emmy today, I walked over, Daniel left. Daniel had to leave. Daniel actually had a bad leak in his bathroom, didn't know it that he had the bad leak. And when I went over there after service, I went over to check out what was going on. He had tore out the entire shower. There was nothing but floor joists. And he looked at me and said, Dad, I got a problem here. And I said, yeah, you do, but I said, if you wait till tomorrow, I'll help you. He said, Dad, if I wait till tomorrow, I can't take a bath. So I'm going to go ahead and work on it. He said, but you can help me tomorrow. I said, all right, I'll help you tomorrow. And so Daniel had that problem, amen. And DC found out this week that his back is in bad shape. He knew his back was hurting. He's had three doctors now give him the same opinion. So that ought to convince him to know what they're talking about. He's got three bulging discs in the bottom of his back because he lifts all that metal all the time. And so they actually, you know, so here, problem. So not only are they going through the problems, you know, that hurts Dad's feelings for to see them going through that. So again, we always thought all kinds of problems we go through, but watch this. We can surrender to our problems. We can surrender to what's going on around us. And if we surrender to our problems, listen carefully. If we surrender to our problems, we're going to have good days and bad days. All right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? When we surrender to our problems, we have good days and bad days. We live on a roller coaster. Now, if we, in other words, instead of surrendering to our circumstances, we surrender to God's purpose for us, we're going to have good days no matter where we go because the purpose never dies. So, it'll still be doing like this, but you'll be straight in all of this because you know God's purpose has got you. God has got you. It's amazing to me. Linda and I, Saturday, Linda said, let's just go ride somewhere and get some fresh air. We wound up in Roanoke Rapids. So we're in Roanoke Rapids, and of course, I put my little garment and said, where's the Starbucks? I said, the biggest Roanoke Rapids is they're bound to have a Starbucks, because nobody else had one all the way up to it. And they had a Starbucks. And as soon as we walked in, Linda said, I'm going to go sit down, because she was trying to study. And she said, I'm going to go sit down. I said, well, you go sit down, and I'll get our coffees. And as I was getting our coffees, she sits down beside a lady who was crocheting. She didn't know this lady was a minister. And the lady didn't know that Linda was necessarily a minister's wife or a Christian. She just got drawn to Linda. And when I walked over, she got drawn to me. And next thing I know, we get talking, and she goes, hallelujah. And I said, I feel it too, sister. I said, and I told her I was a minister. She said, I knew you were. And it's amazing how all the way at Roanoke Rapids, a lady we'd never seen before starts talking to us, and she ministers to us, doesn't even know what we're going through with Bethany and all this other stuff, and she just blurts out this stuff and starts ministering to us. Wow. And then when we leave, and she had these pretty hair pieces in her hair, these whatever you call them, hair pins or something, they were beautiful. Well, when we left, I'm pulling away, and I kept noticing there was a truck behind me. I thought it was in its way, so I kept trying to get out of its way. And I'm in the parking lot, and Linda says, I reckon you're still in their way. I said, I can't be. I've moved all everywhere. And so I pulled over, and I just stopped. And it was her. She pulled up beside us. And she said, I forgot to give you something. And she gave Linda two of these beautiful hairpins. And she said, I want you to learn how to use these, sister. And she said, let God bless you. So God has got our back. All of us. Again, you can surrender to your circumstances or you can surrender to God's purpose. And remember, His purpose never dies. So Romans 8, I'm gonna start this a little bit. Maybe I'll get through at least halfway. I don't know. It'll be okay because we're taking our time going through this stuff. We're not in any big hurry. Amen? That's right. Here we go. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who? Woo, I love that. Come on, say it again. If God be for us, who can be against us? Or watch this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side. Wow. Matter of fact, there's another little, if you look in the Greek, it means if God be for us, meaning he's as close to you as he possibly can get. If God is for you, then who can be against you? They can try to get you, but God's in the way. Wow. That's an awesome thought. Our God is in the way. Let Satan swing all he wants to. He may swing, but God's going to guide our back. Amen? So now, he that spared not his own son, which means no expense whatsoever, was too great. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely and graciously give us all things? What shall we, or who shall say anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is him. Nobody can impeach us. Nobody can come against us because it's God that died for us. His son, he sent his son to die for us, and God is our judge. Daniel means God is my judge. And so God says, who is able to do this? For it is written, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, and all these things, amid all the things he just talked about, heaven and earth and good stuff and bad stuff and life and death and disease and tragedy, amid all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him that loved us. Father, I love you and I praise your name. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your power, your anointing. I thank you, God, that you know where we're at. You have a GPS set on us, and Father, I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that you're in control. I thank you, God, that you've got everything together for us, Lord. I thank you, God, that even if you drive to Roanoke Rapids, you got somebody sitting in a Starbucks, a crowded Starbucks, who said the Lord told her to sit there and wait because somebody was coming that needed to be blessed. Wow. God, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And we trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Now, again, you hear me say this all the time, but I have to keep saying it because I think sometimes we forget it. How many know that God never promised you to live a stress-free life? Never promised it. Not only did he not ever promise you a stress-free life, he never said that you wouldn't have any problems. He told us in John 16:33 that in this world you will have tribulation. Tribulation not only means destruction, tribulation means to be squeezed. How many has felt squeezed lately? You felt the power of the squeeze, Satan trying to get you in between a couple of problems and trying to squeeze you to death between those problems. You find those things coming against you and you'll find yourself in a bind and you're asking God, why, why? And again, I've quit asking God why. I have quit asking him that. I've asked him constantly, God, what do you want me to learn in this trial? Every morning now, like I told Lyndon, I pray with her. Lord, like with Bethany and with our other children, other things going on. God, I don't have the answers, but you do. I don't have the strength, but you do. I don't have the know-how, but you do. I'm sometimes not even know which direction to go in, but God, you do. So I'm trusting you in everything. It's amazing. I love this. It said, in all these things we are more than conquerors for him that loved us, for I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come nor height nor depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So here, God wants us to walk in victory. And I can tell you, some people try to tell us, if you're walking in victory, you won't go through anything. Let me tell you something. If you've got victory without going through anything, you've got a very shallow victory. You know, you can look up online. If you want your doctor's degree, you can look up online tonight. Tonight. And for two box tops, And 50 Cent, have your doctor's degree tomorrow. But it's going to be a shallow doctor's degree because you did nothing to get it. It's there. As a matter of fact, if you read the fine print, I went through looking because I was actually, somebody told me they had their doctor's degree. So I said, I'm going to check this thing out. And I checked out and Obama said, it's actually an honorary doctor's degree because you didn't do anything to get it. I said, wow, who in the world wants to have that? And same way, you might have a counseling degree, but if you never did any counseling training, then actually, what good is it? If you got a teaching degree, but you never even took any classes and all of a sudden you got a degree, I don't want you teaching my youngins. If you got a dental degree and you never took a class, do not put your hand in my mouth. Because when somebody's been through something, then victory means something. Everybody in here has been through something. And going through that, now when you say, but God gave me the victory, guess what? That's solid victory. That's like you're coming through that food poisoning. And you're talking about you'd lost, how many pounds? 9 pounds in 24 hours? Yeah. You know, hey, you got a solid victory, amen? Now, there ain't no doubt about it. Again, how many in just the last year has been through something you didn't think you were going to get through it, but God got you through it? That's a solid victory. That's something the devil can't take away from you. It's something the world can talk about if they want to, that God isn't still alive and God didn't work in our lives, but it's a solid, solid victory. So Romans 8 reminds us to walk in His love, to walk in His presence, and to walk in and through His victory. Amen? So now here we are. I'm going to talk about it for a few minutes because I'm going to let you go. I won't keep you too long. I said it this morning, we got out early, didn't we? Earlier. Yeah, earlier. Oh, that's awesome. I was actually, when I was looking at the time, and the time I knew we had a baby dedication, and to start with, we had more than a baby dedication. We actually had a baby dedication and a church joining. And I had seven words, and I knew those seven words were going to take more than 30 minutes to give them out. So I said, Lord, show me where to stop it at. And so I said, I saw it clear as a bell. Stop it after the third word. I said, all right. And then I got up here, and I thought we're going to have plenty of time. We'll be out at 11:45. Of course, we weren't. We were still out here after 12. But, you know, we didn't have the church joining. Next week, we got the church joining. We had another baby dedication. But now the other people, they have to work next week. So the other baby dedication is probably going to be the first Sunday in December. So next week, we got somebody joining the church, and then in the next few weeks, we got some baptisms coming up, and we got two renewal of vows, but that, you don't have to be there for that, for the renewal of vows, but that's really cool. God's doing something special here, and I thank Him for it. It's a sign of growth. Amen? A good sign of growth. Now, so many have forgotten that God's called us through victory. Not just to victory, through victory. You can have all kinds of things going against you tonight and still be victorious. You can have all kinds of things coming against you, tearing you apart, and you still can have the victory. The victory is not based on circumstances. The victory is based on relationship. My circumstances aren't always positive, but my relationship with God is always a positive. God's always there. God's always with us. We thank Him for that. So if we're to walk through victory, defeat should not be in our focus, but God should be. The problem with a lot of people this day and time, and the problem that happens with a lot of people when I'm talking to people, wherever I may be at, it seems like wherever I go, I wind up just like that lady that was in Roanoke Rapids, she told me as she was crocheting, she said, God told her to wait. She said, normally I get my coffee and I leave. And she said, God told me to wait because there was somebody coming. I didn't know that somebody was going to be Linda and David. It's awesome. And then I didn't know surely goodness and mercy was going to follow me all the way through the parking lot. And they were giving Linda these nice, two beautiful hairpins. Matter of fact, she said that she expect to see her any Sunday. She's wanting to drive two, maybe like 2.5 hours to there from here, and she said she wants to come share in a service with us. Wow, it's just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So now, if somebody's got their eyes on defeat versus the victory, they've got their eyes off of God, off of their call, off of their purpose, and they've got their eyes on their circumstance, then what do you call that? I'm going to tell you what you call it. You call it a defeated attitude. Because remember, your attitude determines you're up or down, up or down. Not your circumstances, your attitude. So now, if you're going to go through things, you're going to see God do something with you, you've got to get rid of a defeated attitude. So what is a defeated attitude? Defeat means to be overcome. It means overcoming contest, in battle, or difficulty of life. And usually it affects one or more areas of your life, at least temporarily. So think about it as a temporary setback. If you're a child of God and you get your second wind, you realize God doesn't want you standing at defeat, you'll get back up and you'll go forward. You know, matter of fact, I can think of the times I'm sitting there and I find myself wondering, where you at, God? What's going on? And help me out here, Lord. I'm really having a hard time with this. Help me out. Show me. And if I'm not careful, I'll get my mind off of victory and get my eyes on defeat. I'm going to get my eyes on defeat. Now, usually it's only for a few hours, maybe a few days, but once I have to sit there and hit myself and say, wait a minute, what are you thinking? God's got this. God's got this. Just like yesterday, I'm telling you, drive over to Roanoke Rapids, and there she is. I mean, it was just absolutely awesome. When we got ready to leave Starbucks, she wanted to pray with us. I said, you go ahead, sister, lay it on us. It was just such an awesome experience. Watch this now. So now, a defeated attitude means to be overcome. Defeat means to be overcome. A defeated attitude means to be overcome before the battle. Woo! Huh. To be defeated is a temporary setback, and it means to be defeated in the contest. But a defeated attitude means to be overcome before you ever step on the field. Whew. I'm going to back that one up again. That's too good to just let it lay there. To be defeated means to be overcome in a contest, battle, or difficulty. It's usually a temporary setback. But a defeated attitude means to be overcome before the battle, before the contest, or the difficulty in life ever takes place. And it will affect every area of your life, and it's a total setback. One's a temporary setback, it touches certain areas of your life. The other one's a total setback, and it touches every area of your life. Now, how many here has ever gone into a battle and lost? All of us. We've done it. Learn your lesson, get back up, brush off your knees, and let God bless you. But now, how many here has ever been defeated before you ever stepped on? Don't raise your hand. How many's ever been defeated before you ever stepped on the battlefield? I can't do this. It's impossible. Well, I don't even know how in the world we're going to get this going. I'm not qualified. I don't know what in the world. I have no idea. Well, I tried it before and it didn't work. Satan will tell you you're not able, you're not available, you don't have what it takes, and he just gets you and beats you and beats you and beats you, and you are defeated without ever him firing a shot. If I'm going to go down, I'm going down swinging. Now Dudley, I know Dudley's had been taught this before. I used to tell this in Daniel. If you're going to strike out, they said, we can't strike out, that will make you mad. I said, you will not make me mad striking out as long as you're swinging. If you sit there with that bat on your shoulder and they get you, bam, 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 we got to talk. I'm sure Dudley has had coaches that let the guys know it. Big time, it wasn't a dad coach. It was another coach, and that coach would get mad if they didn't swing. There's a lot of Christians I see today that aren't swinging. They aren't swinging. They're getting struck out, and they're wondering, why am I getting struck out? Because it's your attitude. So now, defeat is an outward circumstantial condition. A defeated attitude is inward. It's a condition of our mind, our heart, and our outlook. So which one? Is it because of things that we're going through, or is it something inside of us? A defeated attitude, you say, well, I'm just a meek person. I'm just meek and mild. Let me tell you something. Moses was the meekest man on this earth. Do you think he was so mild-mannered he couldn't take care of business? Moses was a mighty man, a powerful man, but he was the meekest man on this earth. Wow. So think about this now. Think about it. It's not meekness. It's not humility. Both of these have to do with restraining your power. A defeated attitude has to do with your power being removed. God, don't let us lose out before we ever step on the field. God, before I go to work tomorrow, don't let me go ahead. I go on in and have a defeated attitude, and it's bad for the rest of the day. I've told you 1,000 times, people come into work and I go, what is wrong with you today? And they go, well, I just got up on the wrong side of the bed. And I say, get in your car, go home, get back into bed, get out the right side and come back to work. Don't give in to defeat before you ever get a chance to swing. Keep on swinging. So here's the warning signs. Here's some warning signs or some examples. Excuse me. I got some warning signs I'll give you later, but I'm going to give you one example or maybe two, and then we're going to close out for tonight. Here's some warning signs. Warning signs of a defeated spirit, or an example of a defeated spirit, not the warning signs. Number one, Exodus chapter 14. God's people are at the Red Sea. They have just seen the most mighty army, or the most mighty power in the world, brought to its knees in 9 months to a year. That's how long it took for the 10 plagues. 9 months to a year, they saw the most mighty country in the world brought to its knees. They get to the Red Sea. God sends them by the Red Sea because he knows that if they go in the other way, there's going to be other problems. And so he said they'll never even make it if they go the other way. So Moses, I want you to take them by the Red Sea. And I'm going to take Pharaoh down once and for all. They get to the Red Sea. There's the Red Sea. There's mountains on both sides. There's desert behind them. And here comes the most mighty army in the world coming to take them down. And they forget what God just did for them. How many times have we forgot what God just did for us? Just did it. Just did something great. And the next day we're going, we'll never make it. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know why God's leaving me out here to dry. And then Satan comes in and says, you know what? While we're moving forward, let's turn around and go back. To what? So, one of the examples of a defeated spirit is you want to go back. You want to go back to the way it used to be. Well, if the way it used to be was so great, you wouldn't be moving forward anyway. Amen? I sit back and look now, and I sit back and think about how, our youngins, and I used to think that I was spoiled as a child, because we had television. I thought I was spoiled as a child because we had some modern conveniences like an indoor toilet. I thought we were awesome. I didn't know that we would come along. My youngins know what they had, a microwave and a cell phone and, I mean, all of this stuff going on, the internet. They got anything they need. Everything's right there. And if the power bleeps out and they can't get the internet or can't talk on their phone, they think it's the worst time of their life. Or their phone dies. Oh, no, I'm going to die. My phone's dead. When Granddaddy used to go to the train station and miss the train, he'd just come back the next day and catch the next one. And now, if I can't get to Raleigh in 45 minutes to an hour, I'm having a problem. So now, first thing, example, they wanted to go back. Numbers 13. Here's the 12 spies. The 12 spies come back, and 10 give an evil report, 2 give a good report. Joshua and Caleb, you know the story. And the guys all get scared. Now, they're going to come through that. Now, not only have they come through the plagues, now they've come through the Red Sea. God showed them, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. So now they've seen the Red Sea part open, and they walk through on dry land. Then Pharaoh goes in, and his horses and his chariots, and they get stuck in mud, and they get drowned. I heard somebody say, you know, and that's a pretty awesome thing, you know, to see the walls had to be at least 100 foot high, and they go through these walls of water, and the walls fall down on top of them and takes out Pharaoh's army. And then I hear somebody, I was watching the History Channel the other night, and they were talking about it weren't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. And it said, the walls weren't way up like this, it was the Reed Sea, which was only a couple of foot thick, and it just happened to be low tide. And Linda said, you're going to believe that garbage. And I said, actually, that's the better miracle. She said, why? I said, because at the Red Sea, 100 foot walls had to come down and crush them. I said, at the Reed Sea, they all got crushed in a foot of water. I said, that's the greater miracle. Amen. And so again, the spies, they've seen all this. They've gone through the promised land. They're looking at the promised land. They've been there 40 days. They see all the things that God said. They bring back the grapes to show just how big and awesome God's promises are. But you say, yet nevertheless, there's giants there. That's why he said occupy. Occupy means to take back what did belong to you. Initially, it was for us. But because of the sin of Adam and Eve, and because of all the stuff that went on down the line, and because of all the things that were happening with all the heathen nations, God's people didn't have it. So they were to go in, and they were to get lands that they didn't work for, they didn't till, that they did not build, and they were going to get it. So when they get over there and it's time to get it, now watch this. A defeated spirit number one, and I'm going to close right here. A defeated spirit number one wants to go back. A defeated spirit, number two, is scared to go forward. Wow. I sit back and think about this place and how in the last couple of years, how forward we have moved. And it was scary. But look at the fruit. Just like today, the baby dedication. In a couple more weeks, we've got another baby dedication. Like I was talking about, we're going to have I don't know how many baptisms. And we just had a baptism. And now we're going to have a couple of weddings where they're going to rededicate their vows. Two families rededicating their vows, two weddings. And anybody else, if y'all want to do that, we can do that too. And next week, a family joining the church. I mean, it's just amazing at what's going on around us. Because we moved forward. God's doing something. And I sat down to eat lunch with somebody the other day that's been coming, and they said they cannot remember when they were so excited about serving God. And they can't think about when they were so excited to be in a church service. It's just awesome. You see, a defeated spirit wants to go back because it thinks that there's no profit and just even standing there and standing still and trying to wait for God to move. A defeated spirit also is scared to move forward because although it sees the promises, it also sees the problems, not realizing that when God gives you a promise, it gives you a problem because the problem propels you to your promise. Wow. So now, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be defeated before you ever step on the field? Michael Jordan said, I think it was Michael Jordan, he said you can give two teams, remember they won a 6 times world champions, the Bulls, I think it was 6 times with Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan said you can take two teams with the same ability, or you can take two teams and one team be stronger than the other team. But the team with the best attitude always wins. Wow. Whether you win or lose is not your circumstances decision. It's yours and God's. Let's all pray. I'm going to stop it right there. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that we do not walk alone, that we've got you by our side, that you're with us all the way, that we never have to wander, we never have to wonder. You have got our back. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint, Father, in the way only you can. I ask you, Father, to touch us, Lord, to help us know that it's not circumstances, but it's your purpose that propels us. Help us to remember David would have never become king just because of the anointing. There's a lot of people that are anointing and sitting around doing nothing. David became king because of the anointing, but because also of his problem, the giant. The giant propelled him to the promise. After God anointed him, sent Samuel to anoint him, he still went back into the field and fed the sheep. So he was anointed to be king, but until he came to the giant problem, the giant, that's when he was propelled into the kingdom. God, I thank you for our problems, because our problems propel us to the promise. Like a catapult. If we'll go ahead and hold on to you and trust you, it's a catapult that God, we know you will use to bring us not only to victory, but to the promise. And I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You are able, more than able, to meet every need in our life. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. Come back Tuesday night, Critical Spirit. It's been awesome. Have y'all enjoyed the Critical Spirit? The very first night was kind of tough. But after we got past the first night made you want to go, but all the rest of them have been good. Right? Do what? Okay, the second may have been a little